In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is born. Greetings in the new year. Peace, blessedness, and health to all in this new year. On this day, the eighth day after the birth of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, of God born in the flesh for our sakes, we remember that he was brought for circumcision. This sign from the old covenant is related to a sign from the new covenant, which is holy baptism. Our epistle from the second chapter of Colossians refers to the circumcision made without hands, and then specifically mentions baptism as the understanding of that. Elsewhere, St. Paul speaks of the circumcision of the heart. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We hear at the beginning of the Gospel of John. The old circumcision identified a male as a good Israelite. The new circumcision of holy baptism makes us all into the children of God, members of the family of God. The entrance into the new year offers us a milestone for the renewal of our baptismal vows and a redetermination of our faithful commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ, to his holy church, and to the way of life, the way to life that only he offers us. To once again endeavor to live as God wants us to live, which is live for him and in him. In him, the Son of God became the Son of Man. In him, we sons of men become sons of God. The children of men learn from their human parents. The children of God learn from their heavenly Father. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. And something happened then that seemed to alter the tempo of life in the West. It is spoken of as a rebellion, and for many it was. It was driven by rock and roll and drugs, and of the idea of liberation from tradition and convention, and that the young, the youth, the hippies, had a message for their elders, for the squares. And we heard that we're the young generation, and we've got something to say. And we were talking about my generation. That comes to mind with the larger part of our gospel for this feast day from the second chapter of Luke, having to do with Jesus as a youth being found in the temple, discussing the matters of the law with the religious lawyers and elders of the temple. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. In this exceptional case, here was a young man who was indeed ready to be a teacher of adult scholars even, he also being the eternal Son of God incarnate, fully God and fully human. He truly had something to say. In the ordinary unfolding of life, the old teach the young. The experienced guide and lead the inexperienced. Parents have a responsibility before God to raise their children in wisdom, in the wisdom and fear of God. And teachers start out as students, and now older, then they teach the young. They teach the students. Coaches start out as players, and now older, they teach the players from their knowledge and experience. Supervisors and managers maybe start out as the lowest workers, but then they become older and they direct the younger workers on how things are done. The older and wiser mentor the young, but those willing to learn. The elders guide the disciples. Such is the way of the world universally. So it was an oddity in history in my generation, which was daring to claim to teach their elders about life. individual youthful rebellion is not new. We read in Proverbs, a foolish man is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Also, he that wasteth his father and chases away his mother is a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach. To waste one's father here means to waste his teaching, to reject his guidance, to waste his wisdom. It is true in our times that the youth set the tone in some things, in popular music and fashion, but such things are fleeting and change with the wind and our vanity and are here today and gone tomorrow. And we all should seek that which has lasting value. We are called to hand down to the young that which is of lasting meaning and value. And if the young will not learn from their elders, from their parents, and others who are put in authority over them to teach them, then life will teach them. And life teaches its lessons bluntly and without pity or patience. Life is a hard teacher without guidance from someone older and wiser and caring. Of course, the elders, the parents and teachers have to know what to teach, have to embrace the authority of their position. And we will see, and we are seeing, how the 60s and 70s rock generation will instruct their children, not to mention the hip-hop generation. Someone back then also sung softly about the need to teach your children well. So all was not lost. Christ at the age of 12 could teach the teachers in the temple. The rest of us, brothers and sisters, the rest of us have to learn from our elders. The church is far older than us all and contains the wisdom of the ages, indeed the wisdom of grace-filled elders. We sang last night concerning the circumcision that Christ as God and the creator and giver of the law was himself, in this instance, obedient to the law. That he obeyed his own commandments, even though it was painful. And I'd rather not talk about it. As Christ shows us on January 1st with his humble submission, the call to obedience, therefore, is our call for the new year. To fight against our self-serving tendencies and endeavor again and anew to serve our Lord and our brothers, our Lord and Savior who loves us and came to earth for us, our brothers and sisters who stand with us, giving glory to God. Brothers and sisters, obedience saves us. Obedience, not to our passions, but obedience to that which is older and wiser and with God, which is ageless and beyond time. Eternal wisdom, eternal truth, everlasting verities that don't change with fashion or even with human rebellions. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in the new year, let us glorify him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is born. Glorify.